This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with eight vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Donna Adelson from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Everyone can be seated. Ms. Kappelman, you may resume with your examination of the witness.
Thank you, Judge. Ms. Adelson, I want to ask you a little bit about your brother, Charlie Adelson. How is he older or younger than you?
I'm the youngest of the three children, so both my brothers are older than me.
Okay. How much older than you is Charlie?
He's 2.5 years older.
And in the time frame 2013 to 2014, how much time were you spending with Charlie Adelson?
I don't remember spending a lot of time with him. I was in Tallahassee most of the time, and he was in South Florida most of the time.
Did you speak with Charlie regularly during that time?
We did.
What type of lifestyle did your brother have around the time frame 2014 to 2016?
My brother was a single guy. He was dating lots of people. He worked really hard till early in the morning till late at night, sometimes 6 or 7 days a week.
Worked hard, played hard?
Yeah, I think that was kind of his lifestyle.
Did he like nice things?
He did.
Fancy cars?
He liked nice cars. He liked nice food.
Okay. Did you, during the phone conversations you had with your brother during that time, did you talk much about your marital problems?
I mean, to be honest, I don't remember, but I'm sure we talked about it.
Is it fair to say during the year or so leading up to Mr. Markell's murder that your brother did not like him?
I think that's fair to say.
Did your brother joke about hiring a hitman to kill Dan Markell?
He did make that joke.
What was the joke specifically?
My brother had bought me a TV as a divorce present, and he would make the joke that the TV was cheaper than hiring a hitman.
Did you ever tell Jeffrey Lacasse about that joke?
I may have mentioned that joke to Jeff Lacasse.
Who is that?
Jeff Lacasse was someone that I dated after Danny and I got divorced.
Okay. Had he met your parents?
I think he may have met them once, not in any kind of formal way. Just my parents were visiting and he might have said hi, something like that.
Did your parents express any opinion about him, whether they liked him or not?
I don't remember them really taking notice of him.
Do you remember sending a text back in May 28th of 2014 that saying, quote, my parents are not into him, referring to Jeff?
I don't remember sending that text.
On the morning of the murder, did you have an appointment at your residence on Aqua Ridge?
I did.
What was the nature of that appointment?
I had an appointment with the Geek Squad. There were some vertical lines on the TV. I didn't know if maybe one of my kids had tapped it or touched it, but it wasn't working. And so I had an appointment, and they were scheduled to come sometime between 8 and 12.
And was that the TV that was the same TV that your brother joked he got you as a divorce present because
it was
cheaper than hiring a hitman?
Yes.
Okay. And on the morning of the murder, did your mom text you about the TV repair guy being on the way or coming to your house?
She did. I didn't buy the TV, and the TV had an insurance policy that came with the Geek Squad help. So I think they reached out to her first, and then she let me know that they were coming.
The TV was under warranty, right?
I believe so.
But the damage that you had was not covered by the warranty, was it?
I don't think so.
Okay. And do you recall how long the TV repairman was at your house?
I don't. It was a reasonable amount of time, so maybe an hour or so.
And why did it take an hour to determine that the TV couldn't be repaired or was not under warranty?
I don't know. I don't know a lot about AV equipment.
And the TV repair guy, well, I guess I should ask, were you upset, crying and upset during the time that the TV repairman was there?
I don't think so.
Were you particularly upset about the TV, the fact that the TV couldn't be repaired?
I don't think so.
Okay, so the TV guy, to your recollection, didn't actually do anything. He didn't fix the TV, didn't take it away, didn't bring you a new one?
No. He was trying to fix it. I mean, I think he was trying to assess what the problem was and if it could be fixed, but it wasn't taken away.
The problem was like an impact to the screen, right?
It seemed to be that, yeah.
Okay. Did you go to a dinner after the murder of Dan Markell in which you vomited at the table?
It was several weeks until I felt ready to leave my apartment. I was very, very scared.
So you did that happen?
It did happen.
Okay, and that was at a restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm. It was at a restaurant.
Who was present at that dinner?
It was my brother and me.
And where was the dinner?
South Florida.
Okay, and you said it was several weeks after the murder?
I believe so.
Had you ever heard Charlie, your brother, refer to that dinner as a celebratory dinner?
Only in previous trials, but never to me personally.
Did you hear him say it the night that you had the dinner or after that?
No.
That you threw up at the celebration?
No.
Do you know Catherine Magbanua?
I met her on two occasions.
Okay. Do you have an independent friendship with her, or did you just meet her through your brother?
I just met her through my brother.
Who was she to Charlie?
She was a person that he had dated.
Was she a serious girlfriend?
I didn't think so.
Okay. Did he have a lot of girlfriends that kind of came and went?
He had a lot of girlfriends, and they all looked somewhat similar.
Okay. I'm going to show you what's... One moment, Your Honor. Show you what I marked as 35. Recognize States 35?
I do.
How do you recognize it?
This was a visit. I went to the beach with Catherine and a friend of hers for about an hour.
Catherine Magbanua?
Yes.
All right. And when was this photograph taken?
It was Father's Day weekend of June 2014.
So just about a month before the murder?
Yes.
And was this the first time you'd ever met Catherine Magbanua?
It was the second time. The first time was at a dinner with my brother and with Jeff Lacasse when I was running an alternative spring break. I came down to visit.
Is that the dinner at Yardbird?
Yes.
Okay, we'll get back to that. So this was the second meeting?
Yes.
All right, Judge, move to introduce States Exhibit 35.
Any objection?
No objection.
States 35 is admitted.
Publishing States 35. Which one is Catherine Magbanua?
She's on the left with the white top.
Okay, and that's you in the center there?
That's me in the middle.
And this photograph, was it taken near your parents' residence in
South
Beach?
It was. Mm-hmm. Very close.
During that trip, were there any conversations with Catherine Magbanua or your brother or your mother about the murder?
No.
Is Catherine Magbanua the girlfriend that your brother had in this time frame leading up to the murder?
I believe so, but he had multiple girlfriends, so I don't know if she was the only one.
Okay, but that's definitely the one that you interacted with the month before.
Yes, ma'am.
Did anything stand out to you about this particular girl as being, you know, the one or special or different from the parade of girlfriends that
No.
Charlie had? Did your brother have girlfriends after this woman, Magbanua?
Yes.
Okay, including, do you remember a Whitney?
I do remember Whitney.
And then there was June Mchinda?
Yes, I remember June.
A Junko, I think?
I remember Junko.
Okay. Prior to Dan Markell's murder, was this image taken at your trip to South Beach that was most recent before the murder?
No.
So you went down another time between this trip and the murder?
I did. I went down for my dad's birthday.
And when was that?
It would have been, his birthday was on July 5th. And so I was down, I don't remember the exact amount of time, but maybe 7 or 10 days over July 4th. And for his birthday, and then went back to Tallahassee.
Did you run into Catherine Magbanua at all on that trip?
I don't think so.
Any discussion with any members of your family about the murder on that trip?
No.
It was your dad's 70th birthday, right?
It was.
And was there a party?
We had a party.
Okay. Was that friends, family, both?
Mm-hmm. It was friends and family.
And I think, is this the trip that we were talking about earlier where your parents had come to Tallahassee to fetch you and take you down south.
Yes.
Was there any discussion on that trip about any other relocation strategies?
I don't have any memory of that.
Like bribing, converting to Christianity, any of those things?
It had been, I think, about a year since...
Since those were first broached.
Right, but I'm just saying by that time, it was the summer of 2014, I don't remember any kind of conversation like that.
Okay. Was there any discussion on that trip of the pending motion that included precluding your mom from having unsupervised visits with your boys?
No.
Do you remember the time frame that the repairman was at your house on the morning of the murder?
I remember more or less. I feel like he came, I think it was, he was supposed to come sometime between 8 and 12, and he came on the early side. Because I just remember being surprised and trying to get dressed really fast.
Okay. And Dan Markell was killed between 8 and 12, right?
We know he was.
That now. Who paid the repairman that came to your house?
I think he was under contract. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a strong memory of that, but I don't remember paying him. It's possible that I did.
I'm going to ask you a few more questions about Mr. Lacasse. You said you might have mentioned the joke to him about TV's cheaper than a hitman. Did you ever use the term TV as code for the murder in any context?
No.
Did you ever hear your mom do that, other than the recordings in this case?
No.
So she didn't talk to you about the TV?
No.
Okay. Did you see Mr. Lacasse, and you said that was somebody that you had been dating around the time of the murder, is that right?
We had broken up just before that week that Danny was killed.
All right. Did you have an occasion to see him on July 13th of 2014? So just about a week before the murder at your residence.
I don't remember him being at my residence, but I do remember seeing him around that time.
Okay. And on July 13th, 2014, do you remember asking to share something in confidence with Mr. Lacasse?
I don't remember doing that.
Did you tell Mr. Lacasse, in the context of if something were to happen to Danny, I could move back to Miami, did you tell Lacasse that regarding the relocation battle in the summer of 2013, Charlie had, seriously, not as a joke, explored all options to resolve the problem, including hiring a hitman?
I did not have that conversation with Jeff Lacasse.
And I think you said the week before, but wasn't it actually about, I think it was 4 days before the murder, you sent an email to Mr. Lacasse? Do you remember that email, bump in the road?
I remember telling him I didn't want to have contact with him anymore. I don't remember exactly what date I sent it, but whatever date Sunday or Monday of that week would have been around when I sent it.
Does this refresh your memory at all?
It does.
Okay. And so you weren't officially breaking up with him so much as asking for a certain period of time without contact, is that right?
That sounds right.
Okay, and then your plan was to reach back out to him and figure things out one way or the other?
I mean, I think I was breaking up with him, but I have a strong aversion to conflict, so this was probably my way of not breaking up with him without breaking up with him.
Okay. And I want to go back to the day of the murder. We know about the TV repairman left about, did you say about 9?
The truth is I don't really remember, but, you know, something like 9 or 10.
Definitely before 10 or by 10?
Yes, that's my best memory.
All right, where did you go after the TV? What was the next place you went after the TV repairman left?
So I was home I think for a couple of hours first, I was doing a little bit of work. I was talking to some friends. I think I ate breakfast. And then I left probably close to noon or a little bit after noon. I was meeting two friends who I would frequently meet on a Friday to have lunch with. And so I went to run a few quick errands and then meet them for lunch.
And on your way to meet the friends, did you have an occasion to go down Trescott?
I was trying to turn down Trescott. That's where I used to turn and take just the road I was used to. But there was yellow tape up. And so when I tried to turn, I couldn't turn. So I made a 3-point turn and kept going on Centerville.
And so you encountered a police roadblock at that location?
Yes.
Okay, couldn't go any further because there was a police car and some yellow tape, right?
Right.
And that was, you were able to see that from the intersection there, or you actually turned onto Trescott?
I tried to turn, and then I couldn't go through, so I turned around and kept going.
How far down Trescott did you proceed before you turned around?
Just until the tape.
Okay. Which one of you or your ex-husband had the kids the night before he was killed?
The night before they were with Danny.
All right. So it was his responsibility to take them to preschool that morning?
Yes.
Who was supposed to pick them up from preschool that day?
I was supposed to pick them up.
Had you talked to Dan Markell or your children that morning before you encountered the roadblock?
I hadn't talked to the boys because I wouldn't have talked to them, you know, they didn't have cell phones, they were little. So I only would have spoken to them if I had gone to the preschool and seen them, but I didn't do that. So I hadn't talked to the boys. I'm sorry, what was the second part of the question?
How about Dan? Did you speak to him that morning?
We didn't. We had plans to talk. We had traded some text messages and emails, and then I called him and he didn't pick up, and that was the last contact.
Did you attempt to call Dan Markell when you encountered the roadblock?
No.
Did you attempt to call your kids' daycare after encountering the roadblock?
No.
Did you notify anyone that you observed the roadblock?
I was talking on the phone at the time, so I may have said to the person I was talking to, oh, I'm trying to drive, but I have to turn around, hold on.
Okay, that was probably a bad question. Did you attempt to investigate in any way or ask anyone what the roadblock was about?
I wasn't concerned about the roadblock.
Was Mr. Markell scheduled to leave town the day after he was killed?
I don't remember if he was scheduled to leave town on Friday afternoon or on Saturday morning, but I know that he would go to New York every time he had a chance, and I think that was where he was going. But I don't know when he was leaving.
Okay, if you'll take a look at not the binder we've been using, but the other binder, should have your law enforcement interview on the front.
Okay.
And I would just ask you to review page 159, lines 10 and 11. I think it's the very, are you able to find it?
Sorry, when he had he had plans to be out of town, he was leaving on Saturday.
Okay.
So it looks like I knew that he was leaving Saturday.
All right. And you knew he was planning to go to New York?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know how, if the killers knew that he was leaving town the next day, do you know how that information got to them?
I don't.
Did your brother Charlie know that information?
I don't know if I don't know if he knew that information.
Did your mother know that information?
My mom usually knew our schedule, so she probably would have known that I was going to have the boys. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that means she knew he was going to be out of town, but she would have known that I had the boys.
And didn't your mom keep meticulous track of every time that Dan went out of town?
Maybe just in the sense that if Danny was out of town, she thought maybe I needed extra help or something. Mm-hmm. So yes, probably.
And when that became an issue in the divorce, she was able to send you a record going all the way back to 2010, you know, a couple of years of every single date he was out of town. Do you remember that email?
My mom never switched over to like a Google calendar. So she would keep very meticulous, like a calendar of all the things she had to do. And so that was just her way of keeping track of everything. Not just this, but, you know, every part of life.
She's very detail oriented.
Yes.
Even regarding things that aren't necessarily her business? Or do you think that Dan's travel plans were somehow her business?
I think only to the extent that it impacted whether I had the boys or whether they were coming to visit or what that looked like.
Okay. Did Mr. Markell leave you a message on the morning of his murder?
He did.
Okay. And did he indicate on that message that he was going to the gym that morning?
He did.
And specifically, did it tell you he'd be at the gym between 9:15 and 10:30?
I don't remember, but that sounds about right.
All right. And would he have given you that much detail because you were planning to try to touch base to talk, right?
Yeah, we were trying to have a conversation.
And was the conversation something about one of the children's schooling?
It was.
Did you talk to your brother, Charlie, on the morning of the murder?
I did.
And does an 18-minute conversation at 9:30 a.m. that day sound correct?
It does.
Do you remember the nature of that conversation?
I do. I didn't purchase the TV, so I didn't know how much the TV cost. And so I called him to find out if it made more sense to get the TV repaired or buy a new TV, because I didn't know what the delta was there.
Okay. Can you tell the jury one way or the other for sure whether you mentioned Dan Markell's travel plans to Charlie during that 18-minute phone call?
I can't say for sure, but I don't see why I would have brought it up.
Did you have WhatsApp on your phone at that time?
I did.
What is WhatsApp?
WhatsApp is, it's a phone service, it's an app that I use when I talk to people who live in other countries, so it's become very popular. I think I had it at the time. I know I certainly have it now. But it's a device to send messages.
During the time frame that we're talking about, which is around the time of the murder, did you communicate with any of your family members through WhatsApp?
I don't remember using WhatsApp unless they were traveling internationally, because it's a way of making free calls or free texts when, at that time, making long-distance calls on a regular phone would have been very expensive.
Did you ever communicate with Catherine Magvanua through WhatsApp?
I don't remember ever texting her on any platform.
Okay. Did you have any other encrypted platforms on your phone at that time?
At that time, I don't think so. I don't know what existed at that time.
Okay. So when you, after you turned around and did not proceed down Trescott, you went, I think, to the liquor store. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. I was invited to a stock the bar party for that night for a friend's daughter. And so they asked for a specific type of bourbon. I'm not a bourbon drinker. So I went to the liquor store and showed them the invitation, which was shaped like the kind of bourbon they wanted us to buy, and asked if they had that. And they did. And I bought it.
All right. And that type of bourbon was bullet bourbon?
That's right.
And do you recall the time of that purchase?
I don't, but I see a receipt here at 12:49.
Okay. And does that fit with your memory? You left the house around, I think you said, afternoon, proceeded to the scene, encountered the tape, and then went to the liquor store, right?
I proceeded to drive to the liquor store. I saw tape and turned around. And then I bought the bourbon that they asked for at 12:49, and then I may have gotten gas after that, and then I drove to lunch.
And lunch was where law enforcement came in and encountered you?
That's right.
Okay, and that was where you were having lunch with a couple friends?
That's right.
Did you relocate to South Florida after Mr. Markell's death?
In terms of relocation, I did leave Tallahassee after the funeral, but I just took a weekender for both the boys and me and thought I would be back pretty quickly.
Did you come back?
I did come back a few times, but
just to get things though, right?
Not really to get things. I came back a couple of times to give a talk or to do some work, but
okay. I'm interested in is where were you living after the murder?
I wasn't living in Tallahassee.
All right. Did you recall on the trip to South Florida, just within 48 hours of the shooting, getting a call from Craig Isom?
Yes.
Okay, and what happened with that call?
I talked to him for a while. He mentioned that he might want to have DNA samples of the kids. We were already halfway down. We'd been in the car for about 4 hours with the boys.
Who's and the we in that sentence?
I was with my parents.
Okay.
And the kids.
Yep.
We talked, the call broke up, and he never followed up.
Was it like a, you're breaking up?
I told him I was having a hard time hearing.
But were you faking that, or was it really breaking up?
I was not faking that.
And did you send your lawyer to him after that, shortly after that?
I told him he could talk to my lawyer. He never followed up.
Were you happy to be out of Tallahassee when you were able to return to South Florida?
No, I was not happy.
Did you send a text message on January 1st of 2016 that's contrary to that?
At that point, it would have been a year and a half after I'd been living somewhere else. So I don't know what text message you're referring to, but...
But at that point, you were happy to be out of Tallahassee?
It's not a question of happy to be out of Tallahassee. I was trying to build a new life for myself, and I didn't feel safe here anymore.
All right, let's take a look at tab 96, please.
96 in the old one or the new one?
The old one, please.
Okay. Okay, I see it, but it says unknown, so I don't know who I'm talking to.
But that's not the question. The question is, did you say, so happy I don't live there? And the person says, I bet it's a shithole. Remember that?
I don't remember this, no, but I do see that I said it. I don't know who I'm talking to here, and I...
Would it surprise you to learn you were speaking to your brother, Charlie Adelson?
I don't know if it would surprise me. So, no.
Okay, Judge, may we approach at this time?
You may continue with your examination.
Ma'am, did you change your children's names after Dan Markell was killed?
About a year after I did.
In what way did you change their names?
I changed their last name, and I changed my older son's middle name.
Okay. And you changed their last name from Markell to what?
To mine.
Adelson.
Mm-hmm.
Start by asking you about this email dated July 3rd, 2014. What is this?
This is the, it looks like an electronic invitation for my dad's 70th birthday.
An Evite, right?
Yes.
And who sent the invitation to you?
Well, it looks like it's through the postmark.
I mean, who sent the party invitations out?
I don't remember if I helped with the Evite or if my mom did it. So I don't know if I sent it to myself or if it's from my mom.
Would you have sent it to yourself?
I am a little better with tech stuff than my parents, so I might have helped them put together an Evite.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Who does it say is the host of the party?
Oh, my mom's the host. You asked who sent the email, and I didn't remember. But my mom is the host of the party for my dad.
And to whom is the party invitation sent?
It's sent to me and my two children.
Okay. And this was sent on July 3rd, 2014, before the murder, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then back up just a little bit here. This email, do you recognize this one? Are you able to read it okay on your screen?
I can read it okay.
All right. Who sent this email?
This is from, it says my mom, but it says Harvey Adelson. So again, I don't know which parent it's from.
Okay. Would, if it was from Harvey Adelson, would he say Lincoln is going to be attending Shabbat with his grandpa, Harvey Adelson?
I mean, it seems more likely somebody else would have written with his grandpa, but I don't know. I kind of write those things sometimes, like Lincoln will attend something with his mom and say my name. I know it's awkward to say it in the third person, but I don't think it's impossible.
Okay. But this reference to Lincoln Adelson did happen prior to the legal name change, correct?
Yes. No, I from the beginning, I was scared when I put them in school, and so I didn't legally change their name until a year after, but I was socially using my name for them.
And did that start as soon as their dad was killed?
No, it started when I had to register them for school.
Okay. And your mom helped with the registrations as well, didn't she?
I think I did the registrations myself.
What about here for flag football? Did your mom assist with that?
It looks like she did. There were some after-school activities.
Okay, and she registered your child under the last name Adelson, right?
Yes.
Where was Dan Markell buried?
In Toronto.
Were you or your children in attendance at his funeral?
No.
When was the last time you spoke to your mother, Donna Adelson, as we sit here today?
November of 2023.
Okay. And so she hasn't given you any information or advice about how to testify in court, has
she?
No,
ma'am. No.
What about, you did offer testimony in November of 2023 as well, right, on a related case?
Yes, okay. October.
And did your mom, when you spoke to her in November of 2023, offer you any advice or thoughts about how you should act or behave or what you should say in court?
Yes.
She did?
She did.
And what was that?
I can't tell you. I remember exactly, but she was hoping I would be supportive of my brother.
Okay. And did she, do you know what her thoughts were afterwards?
I do.
Okay. And what were they?
She was devastated.
She didn't feel you were supportive?
No.
Were you in any way involved in the plot to kill your ex-husband?
No.
Did you maybe know it was going to happen but not know the details?
I did not know it was going to happen, and I did not know any details.
Did you provide any information, even unknowingly in hindsight, that you think could have been used to assist the murderers?
I don't think so. I didn't provide any information.
What information do you have regarding your mother's involvement in the plot to kill your ex-husband?
I don't have information.
But you do admit that your brother said he looked into hiring a hitman to kill Dan Markell.
I don't. I admit that my brother made a tasteless joke repeatedly about buying me a TV because it was cheaper than hiring a hitman.
But then someone did hire a hitman who did kill Dan Markell, right?
Yes, that happened.
Was part of the plot to kill your ex for you to have plausible deniability or to know very little about it?
I was not involved in any plot to kill Danny.
Were you shielded from the plot because, I don't know, you couldn't be trusted to keep a secret?
I was not involved in any plot to kill Danny.
Why did you tell Investigator Isom in your law enforcement interview that you were worried the police, or you were worried, I guess, in the police car on the way to be interviewed, that you might be considered a suspect?
Because I couldn't think of anything bad going on in his life other than the divorce. And frequently the ex-wife is a suspect.
Were you treated as a suspect?
I was not.
But you mentioned 9 times in your law enforcement interview being a suspect, didn't you?
I did, yes.
When you were approached at the restaurant, you weren't yet told that this was a shooting, were you?
I was not.
You were only told something happened with your ex-husband.
I don't even know if I was told that. I was very scared something happened to my kids, and that's why law enforcement was there, and they wouldn't tell me what was going on.
But they did reassure you that the kids were fine. You remember
that? They told me
that
law enforcement officers were with the children, which terrified me because I didn't know why my children would need law enforcement officers.
So you didn't know what this was about at all when you were in the police car?
In the car, they told me.
Okay. In the car, they told you what?
They said, your ex-husband has been shot.
Okay. So that you learned that information prior to getting into the interview room?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember allowing law enforcement to take possession of your computer in that interview?
I told law enforcement to search my phone, search my computer, search my house, search my car. I was trying to be helpful.
Do you remember saying that it was okay for them to take the computer and keep it even though you had work things on there because you didn't think you would be going back to work?
I remember thinking it wasn't important. I couldn't imagine. My life fell apart.
But you didn't go back to work, did you, at FSU?
I did actually go back, not physically present, but I was still on the FSU payroll until December of that year.
Okay. In that interview with law enforcement, did you suggest that your parents are people who may have been angry enough to kill Dan Markell?
I suggested a lot of people who could have been angry enough to kill Danny.
And were some of the people my parents?
Yes.
But you said in the interview that you didn't think they were capable of it, didn't you?
I did.
If your mom wasn't capable of it, did she have anyone that she could enlist to assist her?
I don't know.
What was your first thought when you were asked if anyone might have murdered Dan Markell for your benefit?
I thought maybe a crazed friend or a former student.
It's not what you said, though, is it?
I don't remember exactly what I said first.
You said Charlie, right?
If that's what I said, then you have it there. But I don't remember who I listed first.
Okay. Can you at least tell the jury you definitely did say Charlie as one of those people?
I did.
Do you remember saying, if somebody tried to kill my ex-husband, they should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law?
Yes.
And Isom says, regardless of who it is. And do you recall your answer?
I do recall my answer.
What was that?
I think I was hoping it wasn't anyone in my family. And so that idea that it was someone in my family gave me pause.
All right. But that wasn't your answer, was it?
I don't remember word for word what okay. I said, but that was my sentiment at the time.
Was your answer for court and counsel, this is law enforcement interview page 122, lines 7 through 12. If somebody tried to kill my ex-husband, they should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Question, regardless of who it is, answer, I mean, it would be different if I thought it were my brother. Did you call your mom from the interview room at Tallahassee Police Department?
I did.
And did she answer the phone?
She did.
When she answered, did she advise you that your dad was in the shower?
I don't remember whether my dad was in the shower.
You asked her to sit down. Do you remember that?
I do.
And by asking her to sit down, would that signify to her that this was going to be something serious you were going to reveal or say?
I was concerned about her age and if she were standing that she could, you know, hurt herself if she fell down.
Okay. And do you recall that she at that point asked if she could put you on speakerphone?
I don't remember, but that sounds plausible.
What was the purpose of putting the phone on speaker, if you know?
I would be guessing, but so my dad could hear too.
But wasn't dad in the shower, or you don't remember that part?
I don't remember if my dad was in the shower.
Was anyone else there, to your knowledge?
I don't think so.
Was Charlie there, to your knowledge?
I don't think so.
Did you ask your mom in that telephone conversation to tell Charlie what was going on?
I think I did. I didn't want to make any more phone calls.
And your mom took the news pretty well, didn't she, this phone call?
I wouldn't say she took the news well. I think she was upset.
Did you say something different in your law enforcement interview after you got off the phone with her?
I don't think I did. I don't think I said something like that.
Didn't you say, page 265, line 5 through 6, quote, my mom handled that pretty well?
I may have said that. I can check it. Can you tell me the line again?
Yes, ma'am. Page 265, line 5 and 6.
Yes, that's what I said.
And then page 280, line 22 and 23, did you also say, well, my parents sounded really surprised, so that's at least a relief?
Yes, I see that here.
No further questions.
Just one moment, Your Honor.
More continuing coverage in the trial of Donna Adelson is coming up from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.